I'm not sure how you read the Bible, whether you read it in big chunks or just a few verses at a time. But we read consecutive verses there, and they kind of come at a break in the book of Romans. So often when we read Romans, we read the first 11 chapters, which are this kind of built around doctrine and God's great plan of salvation and understanding all of that. And then when we get to verse 12, it kind of switches to the application. And so, it's chapter 12, I mean. So when we get to chapter 12, we read the love chapter, we read a big list of thank yous. So it's quite different in a way from those first 11 chapters. And so we don't often read across that break. But for me, when you read across that break, it exposes this kind of dilemma, I think, for Christians, this conundrum, really. And what I mean by this is it finishes with what might be called a benediction, okay? And in the benediction, it says, how unsearchable are God's judgment? Who has known the mind of the Lord? Kind of saying that we couldn't possibly know what God's on about. Then in the next two verses, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you'll be able to test what God's will is. You'll be able to prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Can you see the problem? How unsearchable and untraceable are the ways of God? Then the next verses, you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is because you'll know it. And I think that's the Christian dilemma. I think it's kind of the conundrum of Christian life as we live it. You see, we are so certain about some things as Christians and we are so uncertain about others. So we are certain that Christ's death, his life and death and resurrection have changed the world, that they offer us salvation. We're absolutely sure of that. And then when it comes to certain aspects of how we're to live out our faith, we're not so certain at all. I mean, if I said to you, do each of you 100% know God's will for your life? Would you all say yes? Do you all know God's will for your life? Here's some good news. I know God's will for your life. I do. I know God's will for your life. God's will is that you are loving and holy and kind. That is God's will for your life. And in fact, it hasn't changed. If we read the prophets in the Old Testament, if we read the book of Micah, this is what it says. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. That's what God wants of us. And in fact, that passage that we just read in Romans, where it says God's pleasing and perfect will, it does not mean plan. All right? That word does not mean plan, because often what we think of is, what is God's plan for my life? Has God got a golden plan all worked out, and it's my job as a Christian to just try and stick to the plan? And sometimes we feel like we've fallen off the plan and we've got to get back to it. That's not how it works, right? That word means, the word there for will actually means will or desire. What God wants for you. You can test and approve what God wants for you. And what God wants for you hasn't changed. God wants you to walk humbly, to act justly, to love mercy. God wants you to be holy and loving and kind. That is just unchanging, right? It appears, in fact, that God allows us, God has freed our will, and he allows us free will, and he allows us to make decisions. And I would argue, and look, I have written about this in a brilliant book that was published by the Salvation Army. I did give away my very last copy of that book to Reese. So you'd have to go and ask her if you wanted to read it. But I explain this idea that God kind of doesn't care if we choose the Toyota or the Ford. What he does care about is how we drive it. Right? Does that make sense? God has freed our will. We're people of intelligence, of memory, of capacity. And we can choose. We can choose. And God allows us to choose. And he guides our choices. Right? God allows us, it appears, to make mistakes. And so sometimes as Christians, we tie ourselves in knots trying to work out the golden plan. But I think God allows us. God allows us to choose our way in life. But we would also say that the Christian life is not about just being alone. right? God just doesn't say, well, here you go, I've given you certain capacities, you're on your own. God just doesn't leave it all up to us. We believe as Christians that God also guides us. We believe that God speaks to people like us who love him. And then it becomes a question of listening. And one of the things that can happen in the Christian life is we can make hundreds of decisions a day, just ordinary everyday decisions, and we don't even think about asking for God's guidance. And sometimes we only turn to God when we've got the big decisions, you know. Do I take out the second mortgage? Do I buy a new car? What career path do I choose? Now, the reason I've been thinking about this is I read a book by a woman called Tanya Harris. And the book is called The Church Who Hears God's Voice. And the division, the Salvo division, they introduced us to, and she came and did a seminar for us last year at Crofts. And she has this ministry called God Conversations, where, in fact, the ministry takes all around the world, helping churches and helping people to think through this idea of how we listen to and hear God's voice. Because I would think that most of us would want to hear from God, wouldn't we? I think we would say we want to hear. Sometimes we don't hear. Sometimes we don't listen, or perhaps don't listen often enough. And I think part of the reason for that is because it's not always easy. I mean, sometimes we would feel as Christians that God is prompting us to say something or to do something, but how do we know it's God? How can we decide whether it's in the definitely, maybe, or no column when we're hearing from God? So there's this word called discernment, right? We have to discern what God is saying. How can we be sure? I mean, I think most of us would say that we felt or heard God say something, or God urging us to some action, or giving us a specific word to say to others. But how can we be certain? So I wonder if sometimes what might stop us is in seeking to hear is because it's kind of hard to do and it's so uncertain. Now, of course, the church differs on how they approach this. And I know that some of you attended Pentecostal churches, which would have a different attitude to some of the other more traditional churches. And so some of the other traditional churches had a theology, and it was called cessationist theology. And in that, it's kind of a theology they came up with, really. It's not particularly based in the Bible. But they came up with this idea that really the miraculous gifts, of healing, of speaking in tongues, and of prophecy, they all ceased with the death of the apostles. That's why it's called cessationist. And that we now have the written word of God. And so it's the written word of God which is the guide for our lives. And that's enough. Problem is, that doesn't seem to have been the case. And so we have early church writings from the second century where they talk about what to do when a prophet comes amongst you, how you test that this person really is a prophet. And of course, for centuries and centuries, most Christians couldn't read. So this idea that we have the written word of God didn't mean much to them, because the word of God was always transmitted orally. People were always listening to the word of God. So if we were to look at Scripture, we'd see the pattern is this, that in the Old Testament, it was the anointed prophets of God who would speak with God's authority. And they would say, thus says the Lord, or God has told me. But we believe that after Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon those first believers, that something radical changed, that the Holy Spirit was poured out on all people, and that we can all hear from God. Now, that seems a risky business, allowing everybody to hear from God. It's part of the problem. And why would we be any better at it than people in the Old Testament? Well, we're better at it because we've got Jesus, right? So we can literally say what we can ask ourselves, although it's harder to come up with the answer than you think. What would Jesus say? Or would Jesus say that? Would Jesus say that? See, the testimony of the early church is that people heard from the Spirit and were directed by the Spirit. Particularly if you go to the book of Acts. God spoke to his people in dreams. He spoke to them in images. He spoke to them with words. So we have Philip, one of the apostles, who's directed by a messenger from God to go to a certain road, and then prompted by the Holy Spirit, he goes over and meets this guy who's a eunuch who's in his chariot. And then the next chapter, also on a road, we have Paul riding down the road to Damascus, and he hears the voice of Jesus. And then the next chapter, chapter 10, we have Peter, who's also an apostle, and he hears, from God in a vision about what Christians can and can't eat. But here's the thing. Anybody and everybody hearing from God can be disruptive. And so what happened in the church is that there's a prophet versus institution thing at work here. Prophets and prophetic words can disrupt the institutional church. One of the great examples of this is St. Francis of Assisi, someone whose name we've probably all vaguely heard. And he was an upper-class person, a kind of man about town, living a pretty wild life. And he had a vision from God that he was to live a life of poverty. And he did that. He gave away, actually not just his possessions, he gave away his father's possessions, which didn't go so well with his father, actually. His father locked him up for a while. Anyway, he eventually hit the road with a life of poverty and had a whole group of men and then later women follow him. And he became this disruptive element in the church. So eventually he was brought before the Pope to see if it could be official, right, that he could actually be recognised by the church when he was following God's voice. And the Pope said yes, yes. And so the Franciscan order was started. The irony in that is that when he died, they built a magnificent and expensive church to celebrate his life. And it's still there. You can still see it's an extraordinary building. I would think, though, for some of us, it's not this institutional thing. It's not that prophetic words or hearing from God upsets us in terms of the larger church. It's, I think that some of us, if we've been around the church a long time, have heard false claims and have even seen this idea of God speaking being abused. And I think it's still a challenge today. I think I've sometimes heard from people claiming that this is the voice of God, that God has told me this, God says this, here is a word. And I think that sometimes these people are just craving our attention or relevance when they say, God said or God told me. And of course we would know that sometimes it's even worse than that, that greedy or manipulative preachers take advantage of the faith of others, take advantage of their naivety, and say they're speaking with God's authority for monetary gain or for power or for sex. And so in those kinds of settings, God told me actually equals manipulation, right? So sometimes it's innocent. People, you know, say, give you a word from God, and it can't be true, and actually it's unhelpful and it hurts people. But they don't mean to cause hurt. They don't mean that. They do unintendedly. But some people are very deliberate in the way they talk about this. And, you know, there's very famous stories of people who've built up huge ministries and made themselves very wealthy by claiming that they hear from God. So that's always been a problem. That's why in the second century we have this book that says you need to test the claims of the prophets. God has told me, and you must, should always be tested by discerning people of God. Because we know that sometimes it's our own sin and selfishness that we're hearing from, not from God. So we understand the scepticism. But surely we'd still want to hear from God. I was just giving you all the problems, right? I did all the problems. But surely, as people who believe in a living God who loves us, we'd want to hear from God. I mean, hearing from God and being obedient to God can change the world. To talk about another saint, his name was Augustine, and he was this fiercely intelligent man who his mum was a Christian and she prayed for him all his life, but he just couldn't accept the Christian faith and he just lived this life that was just unchristian. Until one day, as a mature guy, he was sitting in a garden and he heard a voice external to him say, take up and read, take up and read. And he picked up the scriptures that he had and he could read. And he read from the book of Romans, in fact, Romans 13. And it said, put away your sinful ways and put on Christ. And he did. And he became one of the most influential people in the church. He changed the church. He changed the church. So hearing from God matters. Now, I think lots of us have had that experience of Augustine where we've picked up the scriptures, right? And we've read a verse that we've read heaps of times before, and somehow there's a new message from God in it, and that's a marvellous thing. And that is a gift from God. We would always believe that the same Holy Spirit that guided the writers of the scriptures guides us as readers of the scriptures. That we do hear from God that way. It is a living word. But we'd still also believe that God can speak to us. There have been several times in my life when I've felt the Spirit prompting me to go and do this, to go and say this, to act this way. And funnily enough, it's not been in the big decision times about mortgage and cars and careers. Rather, it's been in personal and prayerful moments by myself or with others or in worship. Which is why I enjoyed Tanya's book, because it was an encouragement to me. Because what she was saying, it was, as people of God, we must seek to listen to the voice of God, believing that he can and will speak to us. Tanya said, what surprises her when she goes around the world and visits all these churches and runs these seminars, that so many times at lunchtime or in the break, someone will come up to her and they'll say, I've never told anybody this, but I really felt God saying to me, do this, and I did, and this happened. And she said, why are we so shy about telling people? Why are we so shy about telling people? Because it matters, right? It matters. We'd want to hear from God, and we want others to believe that we can hear from God and encourage and affirm them in their faith. So she says she has three rules. When people say, God is telling me this, or is God speaking to me, the first question we would ask is, would Jesus say that? Would Jesus say that? So we've already eliminated anything that's cruel and unkind. They're all gone. God would never tell you to say something that's cruel and unkind. Jesus wouldn't say it. And there are words of wisdom that come from people like Mother Teresa and others. And sure, it's not in the scriptures, but would Jesus say that? Yes, he would. Right? So Jesus would say that. The second question is someone else saying this? Right? Is this being confirmed by people around them? Are other people saying this? And the third thing is, are spiritual signs following this? And this is a bit harder because often they come later, right? But we might sense that God is really telling me to pray for a particular person. And we say to our friend, I really feel like I need right now to go and pray for such and such. And our friend says, yes, I feel that too, right? Would Jesus want us to pray for someone? Yes, he would. It's confirmed by someone else saying, I think that feels right to me too. And you go and pray with someone and it touches their heart and you get this spiritual response. That's the work of God. That's God speaking to us. Sometimes we hear the voice of Jesus saying, start this particular thing, start this ministry. Would Jesus say that? Yes. Are others saying that? Yes. They join us in the ministry. Are people blessed? Yes. Right. That's the voice of Jesus, the voice of God. And it happens, I think, when we open our hearts to God and we open our hearts to the possibility that God still speaks today. You see, we have Jesus and we should share about this fact. That we have Jesus and that he speaks into our hearts and he speaks into our lives. We should share what we've heard. Don't keep it a secret until a speaker who we don't know and we'll never meet again comes in. It can change the church. A long time ago in the 80s, I was living in Brisbane at the time, and our Salvation Army church was kind of old-fashioned Salvation Army. You guys have never seen this, but there was everybody wore uniform. There was a brass band, there was a choir, there were people playing timbrels. In fact, we were a timbrel church. We took it that seriously. But I remember a young guy got up. He was fairly new to our church, and he got up and he shared his testimony. And he'd been a child of Salvation Army officers, and the Salvation Army used to call them OKs, right? You know, the church they call them BKs for pastors' kids, But he'd wandered a long way from God. He was a wild, wild young man. And he talked about the fact that one day in the inner suburbs of Sydney, he was drunk and stoned in a pub and he'd fallen on the floor. He couldn't even stand. And he said, "I heard God say to me, 'Have you had enough, Dave? Have you had enough?'" He said, "I heard a voice say, 'Have you had enough, Dave? Have you had enough?'" And he answered that question and he realised he had. And he came back to God in a marvellous way. And this was some years later, and he was a loving husband and a loving father. Like, his life just changed radically. But his sharing of that story impacted our church, right? Him, and I've never forgotten it. So here I am, you know, 40 years later. I remember him saying, testifying that God spoke to him and he heard it and he responded. You see, it is possible to be a milk Christian. We read about this last week, for those of you who are here. This idea that you can just be kind of a baby Christian and you never grow up. Well, one of the things that's going to help us grow up is listening to God, right? Walking closely with God, seeking to deepen our relationship with God. God is always calling us into a deeper relationship with himself. And hearing from God is part of that. We should believe we can hear from him, seek to hear from him, be obedient when we hear from him. One of my rules of preaching is you're not allowed to be the hero of your own stories, right? But will you allow me just to give my one little testimony? Some years ago, I was at a conference, and it was a conference for church leaders, Salvo church leaders. And we were having a time of prayer at the end of the conference. And we'd shared lots of stuff. And we didn't have any music. We were just singing songs unaccompanied. So it wasn't great worship or anything. But we were just praying heartfelt prayers. And I felt God say to me, "Go and say to this officer, this woman, go and say to her that you are enough." I just felt that on my heart, that God had said to me, "Go and say to this person, you are enough." So, of course, I did. I went to her and I said, "You are enough." Now, at first I thought it wasn't helpful because she started crying. Right? But actually, it was a God moment, right? It was a God moment. And why wouldn't we want moments like that? It was a deeply spiritual moment. And it was not for my sake. God didn't speak to me for my sake. It was for her sake, right? To build her up in her faith and in her ministry. And I suspect that lots of you have also felt that prompting of God to get up out of your seat and do something, to pray, to be with someone, to say something, to make that phone call, to pursue that decision. Are you unsure? Well, first we ask, would Jesus say that? Are others saying that? Will there be spiritual fruit from this? You see, our Heavenly Father longs for us to know him well, to hear his voice, to be in his presence, to feel his love. And his voice, God speaking into our hearts through his Son, will renew us and sustain us. He is the God. He is a God above all things. We've sung about that today. He's the God who is with us, the God who speaks to us. I love these verses from Isaiah. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired and weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. But he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." As a people of God, we must seek to listen to the voice of God, believing that he can and will speak to us.